Welcome, everybody. Deer Talk Now podcast is coming at you on location. Today we are at the Archery Trade Show, the Archery Trade Show for the Archery Trade Association in Indianapolis. For me, it's like a homecoming, and I get to see my friends like John Eberhardt. John, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Dan. It's a pleasure to be here.
We were just talking about this off the air in the fact that this is my 28th one of archery industry shows. I know you've done them all.
I've done them all as well. Yep.
And it was back in the day, and we're not going to bore everybody with the details, but it was the Archery Manufacturers and Merchants Organization, which became the ATA. And it's like a homecoming.
Yeah. It was privately owned, and then it got bought, or not bought, but it got taken over by the
ATA. Archery Association. I love it. I mean, one thing to educate the listeners, you know, I see people say, oh, must be nice. Well, it is a trade show, so it's no different than the concrete trade show. It's no different than any other trade show. But the reason why they have it is so the retailers and the sellers have their new products, or they buy them.
Yeah.
And you deal in that industry.
I do. I've been a sales rep since 1990. I actually retired at the end of 2022.
Congratulations.
So thank you. Yeah. I used to come here as a sales rep, and all of the manufacturers I represent would have booths here with all their new products and some of their better selling older products, and you'd take your buyers, you'd make appointments, and you'd take your buyers by the booth and look at all the new stuff.
So I don't want to bore everybody with all those details, but I do want to make that point. And so, like, one example would be John's Sports Shop, right? That was one that you represented?
Jay's.
And then, like, you would be the buyer. So, like, the products that they were getting from whatever categories that you represented.
Right.
You're saying, hey, so-and-so has a cool new whatever. You might want to look into that, or we might want to stock those, right? That's kind of how that works.
Yeah, I would typically, with all of my important customers that were going to be at this show, because this is not a consumer show, this is only open to dealers.
Right.
I would make appointments and take them by all of the manufacturers I represent at this particular show to look at their new products, and then they wouldn't purchase them here, they would purchase them later, but they would at least get to look at them.
They get to look at them, and that's what I've done from the media, and people say, well, Dan, why do you get to go? Because as a media member, we get to look at it and then alert the Deer and Deer Hunting readers, viewers, podcast listeners that, hey, this is what, you know, 10 Point has new for this year. This is what Elite has new for this year, or you know, Sever, or Sever's not here, but like Wildlife Research or things like that. Very cool. Okay, that's not what we're talking about today. We've already, I've already hand-selected three topics for John, and we're putting them on the spot.
I love it.
Yes, so the big one that we're going to talk about, because it seems like everybody now suddenly has discovered the Rompelabuck, because we resurrected it here a couple months ago. And one thing I find funny about this, and I'm going to start it this way, is what I find funny about this is nobody actually listened to that podcast from the comments. It's like any other YouTube video or anything else you see out there, people are commenting without actually listening. So, all right, my first question is going to be direct. Do you double down on your beliefs about that deer?
Not being real? 100%. Yeah, I'm not changing my mind on that whatsoever.
And I know the reasons why, but why do you double down on it?
Because I am very cognizant of the situations. I knew Mitch. I've done seminars on stage with Mitch before.
How many years ago?
That would have been in the mid-90s, probably.
So we're not talking Johnny Come Lately. You were there before this all went down.
Oh, yeah. And I was a scorer for CBM, and he was the scoring chairman. He actually signed my scoring certificate. So I know Mitch, and, you know, presenting me with what I don't know if you remember that video, or that interview, you know, bringing a block box with a shed of another deer that would have been a world record, which is a totally different frame than the one he actually shot years later.
Supposedly.
You know, to have two world record class bucks come out of the Traverse City area in Michigan, which typically at that time, I think the biggest buck from that area was 151 inches.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken.
Out of 84 years.
Yeah. And that's gun, bow, everything.
Everything. For 84
even
years.
Even pickups. And then after the fact, when he lost all of his recognition, because at the first ATA show after he shot that buck, his pictures were everywhere, and because he wouldn't get it x-rayed, you know, the next year he never got it entered as a world record. The antlers all of a sudden are disappeared. The meat's disappeared. They can't do DNA testing.
Antlers burned up in a fire.
Yeah. And then, you know, all of a sudden he goes out and shoots four more bucks, 25 inch inside spreads and bigger. That's absolutely impossible.
So
absolutely impossible.
To play devil's advocate, on our social media pages, I have all sorts of guys from Michigan chime in. Well, I hunt near Grand Traverse County. Is that what it's called, Grand Traverse County?
Yeah, Grand Traverse County.
Oh, there's, I've seen bucks every bit that big.
That is absolutely not true. As a scorer, you know, I have guys call me up and say, hey, I got this buck I want you to score. You know, it's going to score blah, 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 and it comes in 30 inches less than they thought. Or I'll have guys say, yeah, I've killed 20-inch inside spread bucks before, and you go at their house and look at it, and it's 15 inches, you know. You know what I'm talking
about.
And that's fine.
I'm not making fun of people, but yeah. My point on this, and I'm going to let you talk, but how wide was that thing supposed to be?
30.5-inch inside.
30.5-inch inside
spread.
Had
over 30-inch beams.
Have you ever seen anything with... Okay, have you ever seen anything with a 25-inch inside?
My biggest buck, the widest buck I ever saw, I shot, it was 23.5 inches wide inside.
And he killed like four of them that were 25 or more.
In
supposedly.
a five-year period. Yes.
Out of the same county.
Yes.
Okay, but everybody says, well, that doesn't prove anything. That doesn't prove anything. I mean, these big bucks can grow anywhere.
Yeah, right. I've been hunting too long to buy into that crap. I'm sorry, but it's just there's just no way.
What do you think? And we did touch on this. So, was the rack real? Was it a farm raised deer? Was it a Frankenstein creation? What was it?
I think it was a taxidermist manipulated set of antlers, and that's why he wouldn't get it X-rayed. I mean, there's no reason not to get it X-rayed other than it's the bone's not all real. There's no other reason to not get it X-rayed. Why would you not get it X-rayed?
And those guys offered him, like, a lot of money to get it X-rayed.
Yes.
Like, I can't remember the figure. It was $100,000, or maybe, I don't know, it was a lot of money.
Can you imagine what Cabela's would have paid him for that?
Yeah.
I mean, those Cabela's and Bass, they pay hundreds of thousands of dollars sometimes for world record deer, and then they'll make a replica for the person that actually shot it. So he could have made a lot of money off that, but by not getting an X-rayed, that kind of proved the point. Plus, one of the key things for me was when I was at that one show, and it was at the Michigan Deer Expo, and he took me in the back room, and he pulled this big-ass five-point shed out, and he told me, this is a two-day-old shed. I picked this up 2 days after it shed. And I could tell just as soon as he picked the antler up out of the box, it was weather-checked, severely weather-checked, when he had tried to cover it up with some kind of a stain.
So explain, what is weather-checking? Explain that.
Weather-checking is when an antler is laying out in exposed to the elements for a long period of time.
White and chalky.
White and chalky, and it's
split,
got little tiny cracks running up it all over the
place. I see that all the time when people take sheds and throw them by their house and put a pile of them
there. Yeah, absolutely. The sun beats the crap out of it.
So what do you think, like on that one in particular, in that instance, that was, I mean, so this is, now people got to understand, this is in 19, now that was years before.
It would have been in about 1996, maybe?
Several years before.
Yeah.
Before social media.
Yeah.
Before big bucks, really.
Yeah.
QDM hadn't really taken off.
Correct.
You killed a 150-inch deer. It was like, holy shit, this is the biggest deer I've ever seen in my life.
In Grand Traverse County, 120-inch deer win the buck poll during gun season.
Right.
Without question. Yeah.
But then everybody else is going to also say, well, that doesn't prove anything either. However... I'm getting back to the money part. Well, if that was me, I would do two off of principle. I would not. Off of principle, nobody's going to buy me out.
Why would you not get it X-rayed?
Even
if you didn't want to sell it or anything like that, why would you not want to get it X-rayed just to verify it's real? I mean, if you're going to enter it as a world record and you want recognition as a world record, which obviously he did... That's why he showed me that one shed that was obviously weather-checked. That would have been a world record as well if it had an opposite side that was identical to the side he had. with a 20-inch spread. That would have been a 218-inch, that was a 98-inch shed on one side. So you put a 20-inch spread on that, that's 216 inches, if it would have had a similar side on the other side.
So what do you say to the people who say, well, he didn't want the recognition?
That is total BS. If he didn't want recognition, why would he have put all of his deer in the Michigan record book and have the state record Michigan deer?
And wasn't he like president?
He was the chairman of the scoring committee for CBM.
For CBM, which is, again, commemorative Bucks of Michigan.
Correct. And he did seminars. So, I mean, if you don't want recognition, why would you do those things?
Yeah. So, now this is not an attack on him personally.
Absolutely not.
This is just trying to get to the bottom of a story that was covered almost 25 years ago. And I have gone on record saying that, I mean, I've been with deer and deer hunting for 28 years.
Yep.
And I will repeat, that was not my decision. I wasn't in charge back then. But for me, it was righting a wrong. We came out and we did the whole we believe thing because we do champion the little guy, so to speak. But then when all this other stuff came out, I was like, oh, come on. And it was kind of like, you're telling me Santa Claus doesn't exist.
Well, there was the Craig Calderon thing, you know, where he had the rights to the Milo Hansen buck as the world record, and now Mitch saying he had the world record, but yet it was never recognized because he wouldn't get it x-rayed, and that was costing Craig Calderon money because, you know, he had the trailer people would walk through in shows looking at the world record buck. There was that incident.
But
there's others.
But at the end of the day,
can I interject one thing?
Absolutely.
Okay, because there was that incident, and then I was on the phone with the scoring records keeper after he shot, like, the fourth other really wide buck after he lost all of his recognition for not getting it x-rayed. He wanted to get his recognition back in some sense. So her name was Tira O'Brien, and she kept the records. And I was talking to her on the phone, and I said, Tira, is there any chance I could have you look up to see how many bucks in the Michigan record book, whether it's pickup, gun kills, bow kills, whatever, that were over 25-inch inside spreads? And she was on the computer. She looked it up in 10 seconds, and there was eight.
And eight. Like I said, it was like 84 years.
Yeah, of all kills in Michigan.
In the entire state of Michigan.
In the entire state of Michigan.
UP, regular Michigan, the whole...
And the UP used to kill some monster bucks. Yeah. So there was only eight over 25-inch inside spreads. And then I asked her how many over 26, and there was four. And then I asked her how many were over 28, because he had two of them were over 28, and there was none. So in a five-year period, or maybe it was a six-year period, he killed five bucks over 25.5-inch inside spreads. When in the whole history of the state, there'd never been anything over 28-inch inside spreads. He had two, and he had three others that were over 25-inch spreads.
Well, that's just John Eberhardt being jealous because Mitch is such a...
I'm not jealous at all. I could care less. I am not jealous of Mitch at all. I'm not jealous of anybody.
See, I know you, and I know you're not. And I know there's guys from Michigan... I guess it's just no matter who you are, what you are, there's always going to be somebody, you know, well, he's got some ulterior motive. No, you don't.
I have no ulterior motive. No. I actually, when he first shot it, I was giving him the benefit of the doubt, even though when he showed me that shed that was weather checked and he said it was a two-day-old shed, I knew something was fishy. I knew, okay, Mitch has a state record in Michigan. He had a state or two state records in Missouri when he was a teenager. When he was 14 or 15 years old. So I knew he wanted further recognition on the world class level. And there was no other reason for him to show me that shit than to put something in my mind that, okay, I'm on a world record class deer.
Well, and the other thing that I think you and I remember this, I feel very old. And I know that...
I am old.
You're not old, but you're older than I am. But you're much more fit than I am. I do remember back in the day when this story came out, when he was talking about it to maybe you and other people before this happened, he said, I'm tracking this deer that you could cut off its G2s and it would still beat the Hansen buck. really? And then if you look at the photos, I mean, come on.
The photos are so out of place.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
And nobody up there ever saw this deer before? Are you kidding me?
Well, we didn't have trail cameras. But the only photo he had is obviously of, I mean, if you look at it and you find it, you can find it.
Yeah.
It's like the mount of the head behind a tree.
Oh, yeah.
And all you can see are the antlers. Well, that was the only photo I could get.
Yep.
I scurried for my camera, and that's the only photo I got.
He actually had a picture of that shed. You know, that buck that he showed me, that shed that was weather checked, he had a picture of that supposedly 3 days prior to him finding that shed, and it was the same thing. It was a deer that was behind a bunch of brush. You know, the foliage was down at the time,
right?
But he was still behind a bunch of brush where you could just make out there was a big buck there. You couldn't make out the actual.
Oh, and it was also, there was snow on the ground.
Yeah.
And he said he got that photo. Okay, so let's forget all about that.
Yeah.
It's in the first one. It's in all the articles we wrote. Let's forget all about that one. And now, of course, I've lost my train of thought.
Well, everybody's going to have their own opinion, and I have no interest in changing anybody's opinion. I'm just telling you guys what my opinion is.
Well, for me,
and I've been involved in this
situation. We have new generations of hunters here.
Yeah.
Who didn't even know, what is this deal? Mm-hmm. Oh, this was this deer that was supposedly, you know, killed in 1999 or whatever it was. The thing that I find, I guess that the fact that it's still even a talk about.
And it is, big time. Yeah.
Well, and I know there's other people in the media who are guilty of, like, was it real? It's like, come on, you know it wasn't.
Right.
You know? I mean, with all we have today for technology, come on. But the thing I was going to touch on is, what about that, you know, smoking gun of that video? Of where he finds it, and it's laying there on the ground. How do you explain
that? Did you watch that video?
Oh yeah, I have.
Obviously, the deer was there. I mean, whoever altered the antlers, obviously the deer is still going to be there. I mean, they're on the deer's head. It was actually physically scored by some CBM scorers, but at that point in time, the scrutiny wasn't there like it would be today. And these are CBM scores. These are not Boone and Crockett scores or Pope and Young scores.
Well, I'm not talking about the scoring. I'm talking about the so-called where he walked up and found it.
If you have the head and the body, of course you could do a video.
Yeah.
Because taxidermists, I've talked to several world-class taxidermists, they could alter the antlers on a deer's body no problem whatsoever. And you'd never know the difference.
On a live, I mean, a deer that you just shot.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No problem.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if Mitch had any taxidermy background.
Yeah, he did.
He
mounted that himself.
Oh, okay.
That, I mean, no offense to Mitch, but that was god-awful bad. That mount was ridiculous. That was like something
that was bad. The antlers even looked weird.
It was like one of those old ones with the sawdust stuffed in it. It was a terrible mount.
The old ones hanging in the bars.
Yes,
huh?
Yes, and the eyes are all bugged out. It was that bad, and that was supposed to be like when it first happened.
This episode is brought to you by Drop Tine Spirits and their premium 12-point bourbon whiskey. The story of Drop Tine's finest bourbon starts with being double barrel aged. What this means is they first age the bourbon in new charred oak barrels in America's heartland, then send it to California to be finished in the salt air of the Pacific in the finest brandy barrels. Finishing their bourbon in brandy barrels was the choice of many trials to find flavors as unique as the Drop Tine deer. They wanted a bourbon that is not only warm to the palate, but it would sip smoothly and leave notes of fruit behind. They found the perfect brandy barrels in the Russian River Valley near Sonoma, California, and what they created is a bourbon whiskey that exhibits a sweet, floral, almost honey-like aroma balanced by caramel, toasted wood, brown sugar, and toffee. 12-point bourbon is only available online. To get a taste for yourself after the hunt, visit DropTime.com. Deer Talk Now is also brought to you by Hunt Stand and the new Hunt Stand Pro app. Let me tell you, I've been using the Hunt Stand app for a couple seasons now, and I can honestly say it has changed the way I hunt. There's no more guessing on wind direction, property lines, and stand locations. The app takes my hunting to precise new levels that help me be more successful. The new Hunt Stand Pro app unlocks unlimited property data on a nationwide basis, including detailed property boundaries throughout the United States and most of Canada, including property owners' names in the United States, with detailed ownership information. You can also access detailed public land maps and search for properties on a county, state, or province level. There are so many features that also help you dial in on the best spots based on weather conditions. For more information, visit the App Store or log on to huntstand.com. This podcast is brought to you by Cuddyback Cameras. I'm going to tell you guys, I've known Mark Cuddyback personally for over 20 years, and I've been using those cameras for over 18 years on Deer and Deer Hunting TV. The recent technology in the past few years has absolutely blown me away. And for those of you who don't have great cell coverage where you hunt, Cuddyback's ability to daisy chain from one camera to another camera with new CuddyLink technology is an absolute lifesaver. With the ability to connect 24 cameras, I place one home base camera at the edge of my property, swap that card out just once a month, and I get a look at all the activity on my entire property. My deer stay unpressured and the conditions are prime for opening day of bow season. For those of you who have the luxury of cell service, check out their new Cuddyback Trax technology. This is game changing. For more information, go to cuddyback.com. Deer Talk is also brought to you by Traditions Firearms, a family-owned business and inventor of the new NitroFire muzzleloader. When owner and president Tom Hall and his daughter Allison first showed me the NitroFire system, I was immediately impressed that it is not only more convenient than conventional muzzleloaders, but it is safer. The ability to quickly remove the powder charge is a big deal, such as when crossing a fence, climbing into or out of a tree stand, transporting your rifle in a truck or an ATV, or when hiking rough hills, wading creeks, or plunging through swamps. I've used the NitroFire on numerous Deer and Deer Hunting TV hunts over the past 2 years, and I find it safe, accurate, and very dependable. The gun is available in numerous configurations. To learn more, visit traditionsfirearms.com. The Deer Talk Now podcast is also brought to you by Apex Outdoor Rewards. Hit record and win rewards. Enter the Apex Whitetail Challenge in your state for your opportunity to win big cash. Enter today and get a 4K camera absolutely free. That's a $300 value absolutely free. There are some serious rewards here, guys, so be sure to enter in your state. Who would have thought your next buck could be putting money in your pocket? Reserve your spot today at apexoutdoorrewards.com. The Deer Talk Now podcast is also brought to you by Full Range Mounting Systems. These mounting systems are a great way to manage all of your mounts in a stylish and organized manner. We are using their pedestal mount here on the podcast set for two shoulder mounts, and it looks just awesome. Be sure to check out all their mounting solutions at fullrangesystems.com. And finally, Deer Talk Now is brought to you by 10 Point Crossbow Technologies. Hey, if you've watched me on Deer and Deer Hunting TV, you know that I'm an equal opportunity bow hunter, and for most of the past decade, that has also included crossbows. In fact, I shot my first crossbow deer with a 10 point over 12 years ago, and to say that I've been impressed with their technology is an understatement. This year, I'm shooting the new Nitro 505, the fastest crossbow in the world. It is light, compact, and includes the revolutionary AccuSlide cocking and decocking technology. Whether I'm in a tree stand, ground blind, or spot and stalk hunting, I know the Nitro 505 is up to any challenge. Check one out at a dealer near you or log on to 10pointcrossbows.com for more information.